Hey everybody, it's your boy Buzz from Bulls on Tap and Sox on Tap, brought to you by OnTapSportsNet.com. And I want to talk to you about something. These podcasts are now presented by Manscaped. If you're looking for the best manscaping products on the planet, go to Manscaped.com and browse their awesome selection. The Lawnmower 3.0 brings you 7,000 RPMs of skin-safe technology so you don't nick your balls or any other sensitive areas. Want to keep your boys fresh all day? No problem. Go and pick up the ball toner and deodorant so you're fresh all day long. Go to Manscaped.com and use promo code ONTAP to get 20% off and free shipping and handling on all your manscaping needs. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I am your boy Buzz, and I'm joined by my dude Goose, aka Bull Scripted, and we are here to recap the two West Coast games that have happened so far. We apologize, or more so, I apologize, because I fell asleep because I'm an old man and I can't stay up that late anymore. But before we get into these reviews and get into the game previews for the last two on the West Coast trip, be sure you're going to OnTapSportsNet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at BullsOnTap, at OnTapSportsNet. Following Goose at BullScripted, and following me at BuzzOnTap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us, so be sure to give us a five-star rating and review. Goose, Bulls, 1-1 so far on this road trip with a hell of a come-from-behind victory against the Portland Trail Blazers on Tuesday night, and then a loss last night. That kind of sucks. I was really hoping they'd get two in a row there. I actually put money on them to beat the Kings, but I lost out on that, of course. But I digress, man. You watched more of the Portland game than I was able to because, like I said, I passed out at halftime. I tried so hard, but when you get up at 4:30 for work and those stupid-ass West Coast trips, I lost a lot of energy. But what did you think about that Portland game, man?
I think that you might have fell asleep for the best Bulls game that you could see all year. Down 20, first quarter, I think I tweeted out Donald Duck pulling the blanket over his eyes and going to sleep, which is exactly what you did. It looked like case closed, game over. Portland hit, I think, maybe 8 threes in the first quarter, which I guess you could have made the argument wasn't sustainable and they were going to come down to earth and the Bulls had a chance to come back. But seeing what this team used to do and what they did against Portland in terms of running away from adversity was encouraging to see. And the outstanding quote from the end of the game had to be Zach LaVine being asked by media if the Bulls win this game last year, and his answer was no.
And it was an emphatic no, too. Like, it was just no hezzy. I watched it. Yeah, it was no hezzy. It was just no. And crack him. He's right. And Thad Young had a little bit of the same energy surrounding that, too. You know, it said that this team would have probably given up last year, but there's a new energy about them. There's some fire there. So, you know, I love it. I love what I saw, honestly, after I watched the game back. And, you know, I got to read an awesome review done by Justin Wasik over at OnTapSportsNet.com. We're covering all the games, not in only podcasting form, but written form over there. We have written game summaries for you over at OnTap, so check those out. But that's where I got most of my information from. The parts that I missed was from Justin. And, watching the first half and being like, oh, shit, this game might be over already, and then I'm just kind of passing out to waking up and seeing what they did. Otto Porter Jr. played fantastic. He was actually Justin's, you know, like, most surprising player of that game. And then Kobe White. I mean, dude, look what he's been doing as a and Goose, I just want to ask you this real quick before I let you start elaborating. What position is he playing? Do you know?
I believe that would be the point guard position.
Are you sure? Because I heard he couldn't do that.
I believe so.
Yeah, I heard he couldn't do that.
I mean,
from a lot of people. A lot of people.
I mean, for his career stats, he's a 2-1 assist to turnover guy. So
that was a good tweet.
I don't know if that what the issue is there. is he not capable of scoring the basketball? Because I think he's led the team in points two nights in a row, even though Zach hit the dagger for Portland after struggling most of the night and being mainly a facilitator with 9 assists. You know, he hits the big shot, but Kobe still led the team in points in total. Kobe put up, you know, grabbed 10 rebounds and had 5 assists as well. I think the stat was he was the youngest player to do that on the Bulls since 1983, since Derrick Rose. That was another fun little stat on Kobe. No, I mean, he's playing the point guard position. I can understand where people are coming from at times, but you got to understand, he's 20 years old, and in today's league, the ability to score the basketball is more of a necessity than being an elite facilitator, because we had Chris Dunn, who was able to put up 16, 17 assists in a game, but he couldn't shoot the basketball, and we let him go for free. So that shows you where the value is at. If you can't shoot, you can't score. It doesn't matter if you're a great passer, because nobody respects you on the outside to give you, you know, the space that you need to be that type of facilitator. So, no, he's doing it. I look forward to the improvements. We touched on it a couple episodes. The thing that stood out the most is his finishing through contact this season. Clearly something he had to work on a lot this offseason, or maybe it was just building up his body to be able to take that kind of beating. But the way that he's attacking the hole is the most encouraging part for me so far.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He just seems to be playing with more of a swag like that, more toughness. And I love what I'm seeing out of him right now. Two nights in a row within that Bulls Trails Blazers game and within the Kings Bulls game from last night, Kobe was just absolutely great. I mean, in both of them, he really was. We just got to keep them turnovers down a little bit. You know, he didn't have any last night, believe it or not. He had no turnovers last night. Can you believe that in the Kings game? Let's talk about it. We're just throwing everything out there. Dude, he had 0 turnovers last night. He had 36 points. He had 36 points. 0 turnovers, 7 assists, Goose. That's fucking nuts. He's improving before our eyes, and that is something cool to see. The backcourt play so far on this West Coast trip has been decent. I know a lot of people got on Zach about his, what do you want to call it, spotty shot selection last night against the Kings, but he had a really great shot that might have been ill-advised against the Trailblazers that went in that helped us win the ball game.
See, the difference in that shot was it was situational. The clock was running down. We weren't going to get a better shot attempt than that at that point after a drive had already been kind of stopped there. There were points last night. He hit his first two shots in the first, and then he took, like, the exact shot that he took in that Portland game and nailed, which late shot clock is okay, but he did it in the first 12, maybe 15 seconds if he was lucky, of the shot clock. And for somebody like Zach, you can get that shot, your midi, your step back, your pull-up, any shot you want, you can get off at any time you want. So it's your responsibility, which we saw for most of the beginning of the Portland game, where his shot wasn't falling. We heard he had a little bit of a nagging shoulder. He wouldn't call it an injury, but just tightness or whatever. Said that if you see me on the floor, I'm fine. Don't worry about it. But he had a rough shooting night until he hit that big shot, and he focused on his playmaking. His decision-making was better in the Portland game, as where he started off hot against the Kings. And yeah, it didn't seem like he could miss for most of the night, but then he fell into that heat check trap when he wasn't, like, in the middle of his hot streak, and he was taking shitty shots at the worst fucking time.
Do you feel like he more so forced the issue in the Kings game rather than the Trailblazers game? I felt like he was, like, from watching the first half of the Trailblazers game, then watching it back, the second half back, because, you know, I record all of them, he was definitely looking to play make more in the Trailblazers game, trying to get his teammates involved, whereas I watched last night, it didn't seem to be that way. It seemed like he was trying to, I mean, he scored the ball, I mean, really well for the most part, you know, but he just, I don't know, he was kind of far ahead of himself and trying to force too much, which led him to like 6 turnovers last night. So
do you think it's as simple as you hit a big ass shot against a better team and you came out the next game just a little over cocky, a little too confident?
Absolutely.
Feeling yourself a little bit too much?
Yeah.
I'm Superman. I can do this shit. If I can make that shot off a night that I've been struggling, I can make any shot any night, whenever the fuck I want. And he just kind of let that get to him.
Yeah, that's basically what I kind of think, yeah. I think that he just, I think he walked in there and, you know, looking at the Kings being the Kings, who are not playing, they're 500. Kings are 500. And they've got some nice young talent over there. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and lie about it. Dude, I was going to talk about it. Do you remember? Like, I just want to have fun with this. Fuck, I mean, I know it's a game review and preview, whatever. But do you remember when I implied about looking to trade for Marvin Bagley on, like, a summer episode of Bulls on Tap? And I just go, like, man, I might give up maybe, you know, Lowry or WCJ. I might think about it. I would think about it. I think that's fair. I'd probably give up WCJ for him, personally. But, hey, careful. But, you know, he played great against us. He played fantastic against us last night. 21 points, 12 boards, 2 blocks, 2 steals. He was fucking everywhere. 12 boards.
Yeah, other than that one air ball when he started feeling himself a little bit too much from the 3-point line.
Yeah, yeah.
It was definitely interesting to see. Obviously, he's battled injuries a lot earlier in his career, and that's why even the notion of Wendell and something else to acquire him would be possible, just because of the lack of showing. But that's purely speculation as well.
Oh,
the Kings
may
have never felt that way. They could have always seen the prize guy that they drafted over Luka Doncic. So, no, Marvin definitely impressed me, and the Kings were without De'Aaron Fox with hamstring tightness after, like, the first 3-4 minutes of the game. And at that point, that's when he thought that you definitely had this. The opposing team lost their best teammate and a guy who I shat on a lot pre-draft. I'm not even going to hide from it. Tyrese Halliburton shot scared the shit out of me. Scrawny as hell. Didn't look like he could dribble very well in the half court. Killed us. 15 points in the fourth quarter of that Kings game. Was keeping his teammates involved. And we still do not understand what our drop coverage is as a team. So we got picked apart.
Yeah, I didn't want him.
A rookie.
If you remember, I didn't want him at the fourth pick. If we traded back and grabbed more assets, I wouldn't have been pissed off about the Tyrese Halliburton pick if you go back to our draft episode. But he, I mean, I know where the Kings are 8 games in, okay? And that's fine and dandy and everything like that. And, you know, the league is in a brand new season here. But Tyrese Halliburton's, like, you know, way, 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 way too early rookie of the year leader right now. Guy's playing fucking great. He's playing great. He averages almost 12 points a game. He averages almost 5 assists per game. He's doing all of this on very, very good shooting. He's fucking shooting 51% from the floor. He's shooting 48% from downtown. You know, I mean, he's playing well. He doesn't even average a turnover a game, and he's averaging 5 assists. I mean, he's really showing, you know, even when De'Aaron Fox, who's a great player, I know that's your guy. You love De'Aaron Fox, but they didn't miss a step.
I hope Halliburton is the stud of all studs, and the Kings are like, hey, we can trade De'Aaron Fox, because I will be at the Advocate Center lining up with a sign.
I wouldn't be mad. I like Swipa. Swipa's good. Another guy who had a good game against us in that Kings game was fucking Harrison Burke. Harrison Barnes. I said Burns almost. Harrison Barnes. He had a really good game last night, too. You know, I mean, they played.
In your next episode of Simpsons on Tap.
Yeah, no shit. But, yeah, I mean, I know we're bouncing around these games a little bit here, but I know a lot of people did say that last night was one of their favorite Wendell Carter Jr. games. He did a lot of stuff. He had a lot of rebounds with 17 boards, 6 of them being offensive, which is really cool. He had 4 assists. He had 11 points. I still say that he is scared to look at the rim, and I don't know why, because he hits it. I don't know why he's so, you know, hesitant.
He is really good at hitting the rim.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. I feel that, you know, I don't know what's going on with him, but I'm excited for Lowry to come back, because with the way our backcourt is playing right now, I'd like to get our front court in there to actually see what they can do when they're clicking on all cylinders, you know. But yeah, I mean, I think that honestly, like, even though we lost to the Kings, I think that these last 2 games were really entertaining, and the Bulls were in it till the very end, and that's something that we didn't see a lot last year.
No, most nights, that's all you can ask for with this Bulls team is that you're competing to the very end of the game, and we did that both nights. We came out ahead against the better team and crumbled against the lesser team. Ironically, the two games that we pegged as winnable in the beginning of this really rough schedule that we had were the Hawks and the Kings. The Hawks beat our ass, and we ended up dropping it to the Kings. So... we'll see. Maybe we beat the Lakers from at least what I'm thinking off the top of my head. They are going to be coming off a back-to-back. So maybe they see us and they rest AD or they rest LeBron. And maybe we get a gimme there too. So we'll see what happens. I don't know that the Clippers are going to roll over and die though.
Yeah, no, I'm nervous about the next two. You know, Bulls play the Lakers Friday night, 9 o'clock, and there will be an immediate post game after that. I don't have to work the next day, so there'll be an immediate post game after that. And then we play the Clippers on Sunday at 3 p.m., right when the Chicago Bears are getting ready to go for their first playoff game in a couple years, too. So Sunday's going to be a full sports day. I'm not optimistic about either of these, but I'll tell you something right now. If they are competitive during it, I'm going to be happy. Period. If it's not a blowout, I'm going to be happy. Because last year, the Jim Boylan coach Chicago Bulls hung with the Lakers for a very long time at the United Center, if you remember. I know it's a different look.
We had an 18-point lead at one point.
We did, and then we lost. I was at that game. But yeah, I mean, they hung with them last year to a certain extent, and I think that we're already better than we were last year, this year. Something that I did want to touch on that we kind of got away from just in organic conversation was just the difference that Billy Donovan brings. And I know that we've talked about this a couple times during this because this is new to us too, so it's just things that we pick up on. But his timeout usage is so good compared to Boylan. You remember when Jim would forget when he had fucking timeouts? Do you remember that? He would just be like, you know, looking around, he'd burn them all right in the fourth quarter with like, we still have 4 minutes left, no timeouts left, you know. Just the little things that Billy Donovan has been doing with his rotation, with timeout usage, you know, just how he's coaching this team up. I think we see Coby White, who everybody was so scared about within the first three games of the year, ready to write him off. You know, I think we're seeing him understand and flourish more, and I think we've seen Zach LaVine become an even better player, and we saw Lowry before he went out becoming a better player. So I think Billy's already getting the best out of these guys, which is cool. And I wish Lowry wasn't out with this shit, but I'm just very curious to see how this progresses. I don't know if you've seen anything different. That's why I wanted to kind of bring it up. I mean, obviously we've seen things that are different, but are you as in awe of him as I am right now as a coach?
Well, that is the one thing that was going to be made clear with not making many roster changes. The one roster change they did make, we're definitely going to have to touch on at some point in Garrett Temple because he's been outstanding. But it's night and day. You know, you have a coach that's willing to play small ball the way that the league's playing small ball, not the way that he can get Ryan Arcidiacono on the floor at the power forward position. And it's effective, and he's not afraid to play Thad over Wendell Carter Jr. to close a game at the five if the matchup suits it. As where Jim, I think, trying to be a pleaser and a yes man, as much as he was trying to be a hard ass, he wanted to please his bosses, and putting their number seven pick on the bench wasn't something that was going to make them happy. So Donovan's, I guess, freedom under the new front office probably helps, but the decision-making that he does with that freedom is night and day. And it's so good to see, and the way the players have responded and kind of throw shade and, you know, sass boiling a little bit here in these interviews is good to see. That no matter who on this roster is here, Billy Donovan is going to be here for three more years after this.
Right. Absolutely. It just feels different. You know, I know this is going to sound weird and funny, and he had a lot of quirks himself, but I do have tremendous respect for him. But I kind of have that, like, those Tibbs vibes, and not in playing his, like, I'm talking about a decent head coach. That's what I'm talking about, because I don't think we've had a decent one since Tibbs, and now that Billy's here, I know he's a very good head coach. You know, and shout out Tibbs. I mean, as much as I fucking hate the Knicks, he's getting a lot out of them, and he brought back old friend Taj Gibson today. I don't know if you saw that. You see Taji signed with the Knicks again today?
I did not see that.
Yeah, Taj Gibson is back with the New York Knicks. He's just going to – I heard Tibbs. Hey, go ahead.
One thing hasn't changed. They're still collecting all the power forwards. Drafted one, picking up another one.
I actually heard he called –
Julius Randle's playing too good to keep him on the bench.
I actually heard he called Lou Aldang to get him out of retirement. So I made that up completely. Definitely made that up. So anyway, yeah, the Lakers are our next our next opponent here. That'll be tomorrow night, 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. I'm sorry, 9 p.m. Central Time, and they are 6-2. They do play tonight against the San Antonio Spurs, who are 3-4. So they are going to be going on a back to back here. Then after that, the Bulls will play on the 9th against the Clippers. So I mean, I don't really have any predictions for how that's going to go. Honestly, I really don't. I just think that, like I said before, as long as they are able to show some fire and competitiveness there, I'll be happy. I'm not going to be upset if LeBron and AD just completely fuck them, because that's what I'm kind of expecting. It's true.
That is entirely what should happen if the Lakers are playing their game and both are active on the back end of a back-to-back there. That is exactly what should happen. So, to your point, even if we're within 10 points and our starters are on the floor to finish the game, and it wasn't just a mop-up job where we're turning it off and recording early, that's all I'm asking for. That's what I'm asking for just about every game this year. I'm not expecting wins. When they come, we're going to celebrate. We're going to over-exaggerate a little, overreact a little bit. You know, talk about those playoff hopes in the East, which get well, Markelle Fultz, season-ending ACL injury, but with Jonathan Isaac and Markelle Fultz out for the Magic, that should be another team that the Bulls should be ahead of in the East.
You want to talk about a devastating injury. That was devastating, because he was finally starting to come into his own a little bit, you know. I that was a rough one. I feel bad for him.
Enough to get paid, what was it, 18 mil per for 3 years? Yeah. So luckily for him, he did lock up a contract extension this offseason before having this injury. Not that, I mean, I guess it does make it better. It doesn't make the injury better, but it does make the situation a hell of a lot better to know that if for some freak reason you're the one guy that isn't able to come back at this point with modern medicine, that you're at least covered on that aspect. Because it is a shame. You know, he really just found his place. I think going to a team like Orlando, where the spotlight wasn't so heavy, he was able to refine himself and come back into his own. And that'll be a great story, especially when he comes back from this, because he is going to do that. So not to get more off track, but Garrett Temple, like I touched on, what is your take on Temple? I've actually, at least, I don't know how it's possible, but I've seen some mixed reviews on Garrett Temple online.
Oh, you've seen some mixed reviews out of me, too. He was pissing me the fuck off his first couple games here. I felt like he wasn't fast with his defensive rotations. I felt like he was taking some ill-advised shots, and I'm like, okay, you're going to calm down a little bit here, man. You know, you might be the veteran, but you're a journeyman. You know, like, so I was getting irritated. Don't get me wrong, I was irritated with him. Last couple games here, I guess it kind of started with really good play. He played a great game in our second win on, what was that, New Year's Eve? We played New Year's Eve is when we played Washington, right? Yes. Played Washington on New Year's Eve, and that was our second straight win. He actually played a decent game against Milwaukee, and then he kind of fell off against Dallas. Didn't look very good. And then Portland, he looked good. And then last night, he looked real good in the loss, but he still looked good. I like what he's bringing to the table, but the most part that I like is Billy having him and Thad on the court at the same time with three young guys. I love that. Absolutely love that. I know that they're the two oldest guys on the team, but you know what I mean.
Oh, right? or even with Otto thrown in there with them.
Mm-hmm.
Billy is not afraid to play the vets over these young guys, which tells me one thing, that this front office is not telling him to throw games. Not telling them to pull punches. They want full steam ahead. They'll deal with the lottery and the luck and where they're at. And that's probably the right approach with the new system, given, you know, that the back end, we saw the Pelicans jump up from 11-1 The Lakers jumped up the four to trade to get the capital to trade for AD. So playing it straight, doing things the right way, trying to win and letting the cards fall where they may is probably the best approach. And they didn't over-aggressively do anything, which is what frustrated me at least this offseason. But in the end, seeing what you got and, you know, putting it in the fate of the lottery or getting a playoff appearance with the experience that's needed for this young team, I don't know that we can go wrong. But the Lakers and the Clippers will be a good test if we're up to the test to compete every single night, even when the odds are stacked against us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely agree with that. You know, Thad Young's been playing real good too, man. I just like what I've been seeing. Like it's just nice to see the talent that's here utilized in the correct way. The drop coverage defense will come in time, and I'm really hoping it will. And there's one more thing that I wanted to throw out here about just noticing stuff while watching the games. Zach LaVine's effort on the defensive side of the ball has improved tenfold. I don't know if you'll agree with me. I've seen a lot of people still hating on him. I've seen a lot of people praising him. I am all in on how he has been carrying himself on the defensive side of the ball. And I know we had that game in the preseason against Oklahoma City where he was clamping Alexander down or whatever, but it seems like he has taken that energy into the first half of this regular season or the first little bit here of this regular season, and he's continued doing it. I feel like his game is evolving before our eyes and not trying to be just a dynamic scorer but trying to be an all-around player. And I've kind of noticed that not only on the offensive side with him trying to play make and get his teammates involved with the assists or whatever, I've noticed it on the defensive side of the ball too. So that's why I wanted to ask what you thought of that.
Well, first, Thad Young, A+. The little give and go that him and Denzel had last night had me dancing around a little. I was like, wow, we actually know how to fucking pass the ball as a team. This is something new. But on the Zach LaVine front, the defensive stuff, it might even come down to he has the energy to do it now. You have Kobe out there who can keep up and the scoring with him. Hopefully we get Lowry back here for this, you know, L.A. trip. And then you have another option out there that takes some of the weight off of him and some of the usage and just what he has to do on the offensive end to keep this team in games. When it's not all on him, you can save some of that for the defensive end. So to see him with the coaching staff and that extra energy, whatever the hell the combination is, to be making improvements, still at 25, going on 26 years old, extremely encouraging. It doesn't hurt that this is kind of his restricted free agency season for the Bulls. Obviously, they do have one more year with him, but if they don't give him an extension before that last year, he's an unrestricted free agent. We have no guarantees that he stays here. Maybe he hates Chicago and we don't know it. But I don't think he does. I think Zach loves it. But, you know, so there's that incentive, but whatever it is, as long as it continues, I don't give a shit.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. You got any other closing thoughts before riding out into the sunset here, man?
No. Let's just keep playing competitive basketball. Billy, keep making me smile. You make it easy to sleep at night, boss. I know that the team's in good hands when it comes to developing and utilizing the talent that is here, and we'll get the best out of what's here because of that coach, and who knows what that looks like at the end of the season, but we'll be with you for that whole entire ride.
Absolutely. Everybody, be sure you're going to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs, following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, at OnTap Sportsnet. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us, so give us a 5-star rating and review. Goose and I will be back tomorrow night after the Bulls beat the shit out of LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers, so be sure to tune into that. Let's go, Bulls.